Bob Dole began an 81-day campaign for the White House today at a rally of party leaders in San Diego this morning. Mr. Dole said every state, including the District of Columbia, are going to be battleground states. And he stressed that tax cuts and economic growth will be his key issues.
I really believe that we have an obligation to families with children and taxpayers all across America to make our tax code flatter and fairer and simpler, and we're going to get the job done.
After the rally, Dole began a campaign swing with his running mate Jack Kemp to Colorado, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and New York, all states carried by Bill Clinton in 1992. Surveys show Bob Dole narrowing the gap with President Clinton to about 10 points nationwide. It's unclear if the four-day San Diego convention and Dole's acceptance speech last night will give him a lasting boost. Our colleague Linda Wertheimer is in San Diego and discussed the convention and Dole's campaign with three observers there. They are Teresa Tritch, Washington Bureau Chief of Money Magazine, Ron Brownstein, National Political Correspondent for the Los Angeles Times, and David Brooks, Senior Editor for the Weekly Standard.
Let's start with a review of the speech and what you all thought of it. Ron Brownstein, you want to begin?
I thought it was a very firm and forceful rather than charismatic speech. It was a bit of ideological whiplash after the first three nights. I think the Republicans made a very determined effort in the first nights of the convention to the point where I think some of the grassroots conservatives were angered to moderate their face and to bring forward the moderate elements of the party and to sort of project it as a more caring and empathetic Republican party. Even the portrayal of Dole on Wednesday night was as a quiet neighbor who did unheralded acts of charity. On Thursday night, he was much more of the stern father. He was lecturing the country. He had said it had gone wrong. And I thought in a rather remarkable sequence of passages essentially argued that the values of his youth, the America of his youth in the 1920s and 1930s, were a better guide to the next century than the values of the core of elitists who never grew up, never suffered, and never sacrificed, the Clinton White House, and by extension, much of the post-war baby boom generation itself.
David Brooks.
I thought it was a romantic speech. After, you know, 3 days of dumbed-down pablum, this was a speech that was very high in rhetoric, long sentences, very eloquent, stumblingly eloquent, sometimes too abstract so people couldn't follow it. But I thought its failures were romantic failures. This was a presidential speech and a throwback, a very high rhetorical speech, and consistent with the theme that Ron mentioned, that we have lost values that we had 40 years ago. So I sort of admired the speech, even though it was not a completely successful speech. I admired its failures more than its successes, I think.
Teresa Tritch?
Well, I thought it was a very effective speech insofar as it did establish Bob Dole as a humble man, as someone that you might be able to relate to on some level as you get to know him better. But I think that it failed to do what he's really going to have to do, which is answer some contradictions that have emerged. It failed to address that here's a man running for president who has a platform that he didn't write, who has a vice presidential candidate who he's not compatible with, and who has a reputation as a lifelong deficit hawk and who has embraced a supply-side tax cut. And I don't really expect that this speech would have done that. But the fact that it didn't do it for me in any way tells me that it's not going to have the staying power that it's going to need to help him win this election.
I wonder if the speech struck me as having many authors. There were the high-flown, beautiful passages about growing up on the prairie and the relative size of the man and the lay of the land and that kind of thing. And then there was this long list of things we don't like. Boutros Ghali, the head of the United Nations. What was he doing in that speech?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, that on the one hand, as I said, the first few days of the convention were very moderate in their tone. Dole came along, and in the substance of the speech, as well as the broad values message, returned, I thought, to very much of a conservative-based message. Pat Buchanan ran on a campaign that drew a lot of energy from threats to American sovereignty. The World Trade Organization and Boutros Ghali commanding U.S. troops, both of those were in there. Attacks on the teachers' unions were in there. The tax cut was in there. And the IRS, as we know it, was in there. School choice was in there. It was a much more of a pointed ideological and conservative speech, much more getting back to the base and the themes that helped drive them to victory in 1994 than you would have been led to expect from the first three nights of the convention.
David Brooks, what's your view of why the teachers' union came in for such a shellacking in this speech?
I think they are, for the first time, the Republican Party is choosing school choice as an issue. It ties into the trust thing, which, you know, Bush used trust and taxes against Clinton in 92, obviously a failure. Dole is using trust and taxes again this time, but he's turned the trust issue around. Now he's saying, you don't have to trust me, but I'm going to trust you. And the idea is, I'm going to trust you to choose your school. I'm going to trust you with your own money. So it's the choosing the school choice issue, which he thinks is going to play well. And Clinton is pinioned to the NEA in opposing school choice.
I was interested to think that perhaps you could make a comparison between the Christian Coalition and its grassroots organizing capacities and the teachers' union and its grassroots organizing capacities, one used by one party, one used by the other party. And I wondered if perhaps this wasn't just a straight mechanical political attack. What do you think, Teresa?
I think that the teachers' union came in for attack because Bob Dole felt that he had to throw some sort of bone to the Christian right. I think homeschooling is a very big movement with them, and school choice is a big issue with them. He only mentioned abortion once. He mentioned the word once, and he mentioned it with a string of other presumed ills of the society. Since he wasn't going to address that, he had to address something else that the Christian Coalition would think is addressing them directly, and he chose the teachers' unions.
But that brings us to another point that you've already talked about, Ron, which was the face of the convention, the moderate, inclusive, sort of rainbow coalition that we've seen on the podium all week long, as opposed to the virtually all white delegations that we've seen all week long, almost as if there was one party running from the front of the room and another party sitting on the floor.
It was,
Ron?
I'm thinking it was threatening to become a Benetton's ad by the middle of the week, you know, the united colors of the Republican Party. And there were more speakers with disabilities than members of the House Republican leadership. I mean, it was not so much, I think, not people are focusing on that they did not mention abortion and they did not mention that issue. But, I mean, there really was a broader attempt to redefine the party on the fly. I mean, the ghost of 92 was part of it, but I think even more pointed was the extent to which they were trying to wipe the slate clean from the last 18 months and start all over and say, look, okay, here's what I'm going to do without associating it through the filter of Gingrich and so forth. But what Democrats want to do, and what they're starting to do already with ads that began running yesterday, is remind people of the link between Dole and Gingrich. Their new ad says, if Bob Dole sat here in the Oval Office, Newt Gingrich's agenda would become law. You're going to hear an awful lot of that between now and November.
So do you think, is Teresa right? Did Bob Dole last night say the Benetton convention is one thing, but I'm bringing it home?
He brought it home to a small C conservatism, not the Gingrich conservatism, not the Buchanan conservatism, but the conservatism of lost values, of common sense, of sort of Kansas pre-Gingrich ideology conservatism.
Sort of regular order Republican.
Yeah, I mean, the speechwriter was Mark Helprin, who is a friend of mine who I edited for a while at the Wall Street Journal. And I can tell you, anybody who edited Mark Helprin is a brave person. And so Bob Dole has my undying respect for changing any of Mark Helprin's commas and paragraphs.
We should say that he left town in
a huff.
Edit.
That's absolutely typical. That happens with every piece that Mark Helprin has ever written. No, Mark is a great guy and a great writer. What this convention, as Ron said, happens in the backdrop of two bad conservative images, Newt Gingrich and Pat Buchanan. So they had to flee from those images, and they fleed backwards to the 50s, to Eisenhower. And it so happens that, in my opinion, Bill Clinton is also fleeing backwards to some sort of Eisenhower Republicanism. Somebody said this week that opportunism is the mother of consensus, and that may be what we face for the next 3 months.
We have a candidate heading out of San Diego on a swing through some of through the Middle West and through some of the big states. Bob Dole with his vice president apparently glued to his side, at least for the foreseeable future. Is this going to be a triumphal passage from San Diego? Have they kicked him off in an appropriate way?
They like keeping Dole and Kemp together for two reasons. One, it makes Dole a better candidate, and two, they can keep an eye on Kemp. The campaign, you know, look, Jack Kemp has always been, you know, someone who speaks his mind, and they want to make sure that he's on the reservation. They are going through the Midwest, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, and they're stopping in Colorado. They have to reclaim these states. Traditionally, presidential elections are won and lost in a band of Midwest states that are run from Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, to Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Those are traditionally, no matter how you slice the math, drop the map, those become the critical battleground states. Heading into San Diego, Bob Dole was down 20 points or more in all of them except Ohio, where he was also down in double digits. They have to reclaim the states. They have to find a way to broaden their appeal to moderate Republicans and independents, both of which have turned against Dole in very large numbers. Coming into the Republican convention, Dole faced the largest Republican defection numbers of any Republican presidential candidate since Barry Goldwater. And he's got to nail that down. I think picking Kemp was very much a sense, showed a sense that he understands his problem. Now the question is whether he can go out and truly bring back some of those independent voters. I thought the speech last night was much more oriented toward base Republican voters, toward male voters, older voters. It struck a lot of sort of martial themes of, you know, almost Spartan virtues of duty, honor, country. It wasn't the mommy party, as some people said the Republicans might be morphing into. We'll see how that works as he tries to go after what really are the swing voters in this election, people who live in the suburbs of New Jersey and outside of Cleveland and in the both blue-collar and white-collar suburbs of Detroit. That's where Bob Dole has to go, and that's where he is going.
And he has, I think he has successfully changed the subject from social conservatism to economic conservatism, which is appealing directly to those suburban voters. David, what do you think?
Yeah, he has to prove that this conversion on the road to San Diego was sincere, that he really does believe in the supply-side tax cut, something that he hasn't really believed in for the past 72 and a half years. So he's going to be peppered with question after question. Are you really going to balance the budget with this? Where are the spending cuts going to come? He's got to, at every interview, say, yes, I really can. Yes, I really believe in this supply-side economics.
Teresa?
I agree with that. I think that what he has to do now, what Jack Kemp has to do, is sell this economic plan. And I think if he flinches once, he's dead.
Thank you very much. Teresa Tritch is the Washington Bureau Chief of Money Magazine. Ron Brownstein is the National Political Correspondent of the Los Angeles Times. And David Brooks is a senior editor for the Weekly Standard and a commentator on All Things Considered.